Hello, everyone. Thank you for being connected for this audio press conference where we present the half-year results for 2025 for the AXA Group. During this press conference, Frédéric de Courtois, Deputy CEO, or rather Thomas Buberl, CEO, Frédéric de Courtois, Deputy CEO, and Alban de Mailly Nesle, CFO, will present the main takeaways of this half-year. In the room, there's Ulrich in charge of sustainable communication, Patrick Cohen in charge of Europe and Health for Guillaume, and Guillaume Dory, CEO of AXA France, who will be able to answer your questions. I now turn it over to Thomas Buberl.
Thank you, Ziad. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 2025 half-year earnings press conference of the AXA Group. In introduction, let me share with you the main takeaways of this very good first half. After that, I will turn it over to Frédéric de Courtois and to Alban de Mailly Nesle to dive into our business and our main KPIs. After that, obviously, we are ready to answer your questions. Now, looking at the first transparency, first of all, we are achieving an excellent performance this half-year in line with the goals of our plan, Unlock the Future. Over that half-year, similarly to 2024, we are proving our ability to generate organic growth, which is very important, and shore up our operational technical excellence, two mainstays of our plan. In a context increasingly uncertain and which is difficult, we owe these very good results to the commitment and to the professionalism of our more than 154,000 employees and agents. I would like to thank them very warmly. Let me now drill into the main indicators. Our revenue is increasing by 7%, sharply up over this half-year. It tops the 64 billion euros. Such organic growth was generated by, on the one hand, all our business lines, i.e., P&C, Life and Savings, and Health, as well as in every region. Such result proves again the relevance of our strategy, the strength of our model, which is well-balanced and diversified, and certainly the quality of our distribution networks. Our underlying earnings hits as well a very good level. It increases by 6% to hit 4.5 billion euros. All of this is the result, on the one hand, of a very good technical and operational discipline, but also due to our initiatives in data and AI, as well as in the development of our distribution networks. Our underlying earnings per share are rising as well by 8%. They are in the upper range, which is the target of our plan's goal, which is between 6% and 8% on average per year. Lastly, our budget is very robust, with, in particular, a solvency ratio too, which is keeping up at a level which is quite high at 220%, which is up by 4 percentage points relative to 2024. AXA is therefore very well positioned to achieve the goals of its Unlock the Future plan. Today, we are in the middle of that plan, which is over 3 years. Let me now walk you through the details of this performance by business line. As I just said, our revenue is growing steadily, and we find this momentum in every line of business. In P&C, revenues hit 34.1 billion euros, up by 6%. Such growth was driven both by commercial insurance, which is growing by 5%, and through personal lines, up by 7%. In life and health, our second big business lines, our revenue is hitting the 29.2 billion euros, which is up by 8%. On the life segment, we're obtaining a rise of 9% to hit the 19.1 billion euros. Such rise is driven by protection and through unit-linked accounts. Now, on the health sector, gross written premiums increased 6% to reach 10.1 billion euros, with growth in most of our regions in employee benefits and also for personal benefits. I will now share further details on the acquisition up to 51% of Prima, an Italian insurer, which we announced this morning. As you noticed, we announced that acquisition of Prima, who is a leader in Italy of the direct insurance for an amount of 500 million euros. Such acquisition will strengthen our market share in the motor insurance in Italy by doubling it nearly in terms of size. Such deal will allow us to strengthen our presence on that market, which is significant and which for us is very strategic in Europe. Last year, we already announced and we carried out the acquisition of a company called Nobis. This new acquisition of Prima will allow us to continue along the same momentum. As a matter of fact, Prima posted revenues of 1.2 billion euros in 2024, which has been growing for several years. Lastly, it strengthens our presence in the direct insurance business, the distribution channel where we already are leaders in certain countries, such as France, with direct insurance. I will now give you further insights into the segment of direct insurance. Direct insurance meets the expectations of a segment of key accounts. We ascertain this in several of our markets where we are growing this kind of business, and successfully, I must say. For AXA, AXA Direct represents already revenues, which is significant, at 3.5 billion euros across eight countries, and we are in the top three in France, in Belgium, in Spain, as well as in Ireland. With the acquisition of Prima, it will, from now on, 4.7 billion euros. To sum up, while continuing to grow our traditional distribution networks, we see direct insurance as a significant growth lever, which we will continue with in the next few years. I will now summarize our main financial goals. This slide, well, you know it already very well. It's the summary of our KPIs of our Unlock the Future strategic plan. In light of such results, we feel that we are very well positioned for 2025 and to hit the goals of our plan. For over this first half, we can take away the following. First of all, AXA is achieving excellent performance in the footsteps of what we already achieved in 2024, which was the first year of our Unlock the Future strategic plan. Secondly, we are posting a level of profitability which is highly satisfying, with underlying earnings up by 6%. Thirdly, the disposal of AXA Investment Managers and the acquisition of Prima bears out our will to continue to refocus and invest into our core business, which is insurance. And fourthly, our Solvency II ratio is at 220%, which reflects a very good level of financial solidity. I will now turn it over to Frédéric de Courtois, who will now drill into the very good performance of our business line. Frédéric, over to you.
Merci, Thomas. Thank you, Thomas. Hello, everyone. Let me start with the first slide and saying that these first half results demonstrate the strength of our model. Now, what is our model? Thomas said it. It is insurance, only insurance, and again, only insurance. Since the disposal of AXA IM, which was effective on the 1st of July, based on an important partnership with BNPP, we want to focus on the insurance business. Now, if you look at this chart here, you can see that our model is number one, well balanced, with about half of PNC and half of our life and health business. You do not see this here, but we told you that we had half of B2C, i.e. retail personal lines, and half of our business is B2B, business to business. Our model is well diversified geographically, as you can see here, with very strong positions in a number of countries. And we want to be focused on those geographies where we reach critical size. So well balanced, well diversified, and well focused, and an effective business model. Now, moving on to the other slides, to walk you through the main business lines, starting with PNC, knowing that the PNC business accounts for half of our revenues, grew by 6%. Now, our priorities in this PNC business, number one, we want to grow the mid-market segments, SMEs, which is a strong area of growth and focus at AXA XL. The priorities are discipline, focusing on client loyalty, so much for the commercial lines. So these are our two priorities for the commercial lines. Now, looking at reassurance, growing by 11%, which is driven by business developments connected with disposals in alternative capital with respect to net premiums. We want to underwrite business and transfer this to alternative capital, which we have done in retail lines, growing by 7% with good increase of the number of contracts and the number of clients, which satisfies us in a favorable pricing environment across the board in the retail personal line business. Now, underlying earnings to the right-hand side in the PNC business growing strongly by 7%, among others due to the improvement of technical margins as well as increased investment income on the back of increased interest rates, which is good for us. Now, the combined ratio is our key performance indicator in the PNC. Our combined ratio is slightly up year on year to 90%, a very good combined ratio level, with improved technical margins based on what I shared with you before. The technical margin in commercial lines, which remain at a very high level. Nat Cat's loss ratio is below our normalized ratio, which is 4.5% of premiums. We stood at 3% in the first half, and this is stable compared with the level in 2024. Finally, we improve productivity, and you can see this with an improved expense ratio, which is a subject of importance for us and which is related with our initiatives and investments in growth-related projects, including artificial intelligence projects, which should boost the productivity and effectiveness in the insurance business. Moving on to the next slide with the life and health segment. You know that the life and health businesses are two very strategic business lines for us. We've been reviving or relaunching a life insurance business, which we never abandoned, which we are making a moral priority now with a very satisfying growth in the first half, with premiums growing 9%, with fine growth posted in France and good growth being generated in all of our priority countries, with unchanged strategy focusing on protection, on the unit-linked business, and on the capital light general account products, showing fine growth across all these business segments. Health insurance is a strategic line of business for us, growing both in Europe and in Asia, posting fine growth both in personal health business, growing by 7%, and in the employee benefit segment with a good growth, growing 4% with a very good momentum. The last very important indicator is net new money or net inflows, premiums minus outflows, with net new money, net inflows growing significantly, which is in line with our goals and our ambitions. Next slide, you have the underlying earnings in life and health increasing by some 5%, mainly driven by improved technical results in the health business across the board, but mainly in the UK. You know we had difficulty with the National Health Service in the UK. We are reaching our goals with financial income, investment income increasing on the back of increased interest rates, with increased tax driven by increased earnings, as well as a one-off impact due to increased taxation, corporate taxation in Japan. So we are reaching our goals in the health and life business. By way of conclusion, above and beyond this very fine performance, now what are our key areas of priority going forward? The first of those priorities will be to energize our life and health business even further, to focus our efforts more on new products, on new networks. We can see that it's starting to be effective in this first half, and we are very satisfied with this. Our second priority is to transform our skill sets, and we've been investing into data management and AI solutions. We are fully convinced that this will have a very strong impact on our businesses, and it will be an upside. So we are investing massively in this area. The third current priority is and will be to extend and expand our distribution networks. We said that when we announced our plans, with even more agents, even more sales people, salaried sales people. We are doing this especially in France, and we'll be diversifying our distribution footprint, and this is why the newly acquired Prima is of great importance. Historically, we've had a very strong presence in the direct insurance business in a number of countries, and acquiring Prima, which has been a success story in Italy, is of great importance for us. We'll be beefing up our distribution channel, and we'll be beefing up our focus on this direct insurance distribution channel. The fourth priority in the commercial lines will be to keep developing our business in the mid-market SME segments, knowing that historically we've always had very strong positions, and we've been investing to further expand and develop these positions across all the European countries and in the US, and we are fully in sync with our strategic plan, including the US. And the last priority, which I'll be mentioning, will be to strengthen the loyalty and retention of our clients, which is of importance, of course. This is not new, but this is of importance for us and in the insurance business, and we are focusing and investing even more to strengthen this retention level of our clients. So much for what I can share with you. Very fine performance, an acquisition in Prima, which will hold high promises. And I turn over to Alban de Mayenel.
Bonjour. Thank you, Frédéric, and good day. Now, on slide 18, you can see the various figures that Frédéric has already spelled out. This is about the various business lines. In P&C, we're growing by 7%, in life and health, up by 5%. We haven't mentioned yet asset management, and as you know, this is the last half where we consolidate AXA IM because we finalized the sale on the 1st of July. The results of AXA IM are down by 14% in the first half relative to last year. Why? Because AXA IM invests in its future growth and therefore saw its costs rising a bit. And then the last segment is about the holdings, which remains steady at -0.6 billion, as we indicated previously. So on the whole, our underlying earnings is increasing by 6%. When you add to that the impact of what we call capital management, that is mainly the buybacks that we operate year after year, and which when you strip out the -1%, the currency change because the dollar and yen went down. So the underlying earnings per share, therefore, is growing by 8%, and therefore 8% is at the upper range that we indicated for our plan at the time. So this is a very good performance, therefore. Now, the net income is slightly down by 2% despite the rising underlying earnings. It is due nearly only to the mark-to-market of assets in dollars that we have in certain balance sheets. It's a mark-to-market, and when the dollar rises again, we'll be winning back that loss. So there's nothing there to worry about in the fact that we are in the red when it comes to that particular item. Now, a few words about our equity, page 19. Firstly, for the half year, there's always a seasonality effect because we have half of the year's results, but we have the full dividends and the impact of the buybacks. So each time, our equity at the end of the first half year are a bit lower than at the end of the year. This is increased this year by the fact, as I said before, that the dollar dropped, and this had an impact that was a bit negative on our shareholders' equity. When you look at our ratios, the ROE is at a level which is very high, but flattered due to the fact that our equity, as I said, in the first half, are always suffering from the seasonality effect. However, we have a very good profitability. Likewise, the gearing ratio is at 23.4%, up compared to what it was last year, so at 23.4% for the same reason and also because we borrowed two additional billions in the first half in subordinated debt, and this in anticipation of the coming management of the debt, which benefits of the grandfather's clause under Solvency II. So our gearing ratio, therefore, should get lower in the next periods, I would say. Now, our solvency, which is posted very high at 220%, what we should take away from that is that, akin to previous periods, we generate 15 points of capital per half year, in this case at the upper range that we had indicated. Now, we are provisioning as well in solvency terms the dividends and buybacks that we will be paying next year, and related, that's minus 12 points. And you can see as well a key point: currency effect has no impact whatsoever since our equity went down a bit, but our working capital requirements also dropped, and we are gaining 3 points with different AXA subordinated debts that I mentioned, which we issued, but also the fact that we finalized the acquisition of Nobis in Italy. So this is a negative one, and to be very thorough, I would like to specify here that the impact of AXA IM and the buybacks, relative to it are not included in those figures. They will be posted in the next half year. So solvency, therefore, is very high at 228%, a robust balance sheet. And I'll turn it over to Thomas for the wrap-up.
Thank you, Alban. So you've seen it all now. By way of conclusion, these first half earnings demonstrate that we have great confidence in executing our plan and our capacity to generate organic growth. We are posting excellent performance for this half year, and this will enable us going forward to keep serving and supporting our clients, and quite certainly will be offering even more protection, services and solutions in the face of ever-growing risks. Now, acquiring Prima in Italy is confirming our desire to strengthen our presence in strategic markets and in our core business, which is insurance. Now, this is also proof of how relevant the strategic plan of the group, which was started in 2024, as well as the successful transformational journey since 2007. We are available to answer any question you may have now.
Nous avons une première
we have
question
a first question
Thierry Gobi,
by Thierry Gobi of News
Thierry,
Assurance Pro.
Vous.
Thierry,
merci
you have the floor.
Micro.
Please switch on your mic.
Merci.